Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is in Washington, D.C. today, where he has been invited by Republican Speaker Mike Johnson to address a joint session of Congress. The visit highlights increasing political tensions in both the U.S. and Israel over their long-standing relationship. Last night, U.S. Capitol Police arrested around 200 protesters, including rabbis and Holocaust survivors from the group Jewish Voice for Peace, who were opposed to Netanyahu's visit. In a moment, we'll be speaking to Tom Bateman, BBC State Department correspondent in Washington, D.C. But I want to talk first to Sky News Middle East correspondent Alistair Bunkle. Alistair, good morning to you. Can you tell us, please, what is the backdrop in Gaza now and this ongoing offensive against which Netanyahu arrives in Washington?
Well, the backdrop in Gaza is that the fighting simply continues. There is a new operation that is getting underway in Khan Yunis, which was Gaza's second city. The IDF have found themselves having to return to areas that they had previously fought in, thought that they had operational control of, but are returning. One, because Hamas are showing signs of returning in those areas, but secondly, because there is no day after plan in place. And so the IDF are finding themselves having to go back to parts of Gaza they've already fought in. So the fighting is going on in Gaza. There is discussion still underway about a potential ceasefire and hostage deal. There are tensions still in the north, and Benjamin Netanyahu has left Israel for almost up to a week to do a bit of a tour of Washington.
I heard an UNRWA official yesterday speculating that as much as 15% of the so-called designated safe areas would have to be abandoned now because of this new offensive. Has that come to pass?
Well, you're seeing a lot of people fleeing parts of Khan Yunis close to the Al-Muassi humanitarian zone. And the more people who then flee to the humanitarian zone or the designated humanitarian zones means there's less space for everybody there. They become more congested, more crowded. There's outbreaks of disease. There's been traces of polio found in the Gazan sewage system as well, which is very, very concerning. The level of aid getting in there daily has dropped off dramatically over the last couple of months and hasn't returned to the levels that it needs to be. And so all in all, I mean, the situation is dire. It has been dire for a long time and it is getting no better.
Of course, Netanyahu is addressing America and the Congress, but he's also speaking to a domestic audience as well when he delivers this speech. What does he have to say? How strong or weak do you assess his position to be?
I think a lot of this is about his own domestic politics. I think it is designed to try and show that despite disagreements between Netanyahu and President Biden, the Israeli leader transcends White House politics. Is a big figure in the United States. This will be a history-making speech in so much that he will become the world leader who's addressed Congress more than any other. And he wants to show Israelis back home that he is the man for the moment. He is the leader to keep them secure, to keep them safe. And he can go to Washington and demand continued support from Washington. He is unpopular back home. People are starting to believe in increasing numbers that he is being a block to any potential new hostage deal for his own political survival. He is beholden, increasingly beholden, it seems, to the far right in his party, who have threatened to leave the government in his coalition, who have threatened to leave the coalition if a hostage deal is done. And Netanyahu is, it seems, sort of pushing back his own day of reckoning, his own day of political reckoning by plain politics.
Stay with us if you can, because I want to come back to you, Alistair, but I also want to introduce Tom Bateman, BBC State Department correspondent, to the conversation right now. This is a difficult one for lawmakers, Tom. Do you think that he's going to be addressing a packed House, or might it just be easier to stay away?
Well, there's definitely going to be quite a few people missing, namely dozens of Democrats potentially who have said they will boycott this speech, potentially others who, or at least rumoured to, want to carry out some kind of protest, potentially inside Congress itself. And that's why the Republican Speaker of the House of Representatives, Mike Johnson, who was instrumental in inviting Benjamin Netanyahu, has said that he will put extra sergeants at arms on the House of the floor of Congress today, potentially to make arrests, which gives you a sense of just how febrile the atmosphere around all of this is, and not just inside the building on Capitol Hill, but outside as well, with protest groups suggesting that they will have tens of thousands of people, many being bussed from cities across the East Coast, others flying in. And we had an early sign of it. I was in the building last night as hundreds of Jewish protesters got into the building, came inside, unfurled a banner on the floor of the Rotunda. That's one of the office buildings on Capitol Hill. Were wearing T-shirts saying stop arming Israel, a banner saying stop the genocide. We then had a pretty big police presence coming and cuffing them and dragging people away.
Do you think that the content of his speech has changed or might have changed now that Kamala Harris is the nominee presumptive? Or, as Alistair suggests, is this speech really for domestic consumption back in Israel?
Well, it's definitely for domestic consumption, as Alistair says, but it's also for global consumption. I mean, this is fundamentally a battle for the narrative. And this is the prize that he has always wanted over, particularly when it comes to his problems at home, to sort of be able to drill home his message in Washington is extremely important. As it plays into the very, very sort of divisive and polarized and tumultuous atmosphere in Washington at the moment, I think it's another question. I don't think it will change the content of what he says particularly, because that would have been sort of worked through over quite a long time. As for Kamala Harris, she has potentially a ceremonial role presiding over these kind of speeches, but her office has made clear that she won't be there today. They say due to a prearranged event that she's doing as vice president. The second in line to preside over it, another Democrat, won't be there either, apparently because of another prearranged event. So it's actually gone to the third person, another sense of the sort of deep divisions within the Democratic Party over all of this. But the key sort of relationship of tension is that with Joe Biden, because remember, Joe Biden still hadn't invited Benjamin Netanyahu to Washington, to the White House, since Mr. Netanyahu was re-elected. President Biden is furious, basically, that Benjamin Netanyahu had to rely on ultra-nationalists and the far right to sort of cobble together his coalition some time ago, and was punishing him for that without that invitation. Now his hand has rather been forced, and the two men will meet tomorrow.
I have the same question to conclude for both of you. To what extent does Netanyahu, to what extent would Israel like Netanyahu to have an eye to the fact that he is now increasingly speaking to a new generation of American politicians for whom, all of those presumptions about Israel don't guide their attitudes towards that country, and that they might have to change the calculations if they're to retain that special relationship with America. Alistair, you first.
Yeah, that's a pretty good question. I think that the relationship between, from an Israeli point of view, the relationship with the United States of America is absolutely paramount. Tom will know because, you know, he only recently departed Jerusalem to go live in Washington. Tom will know that Israeli media is, you know, borders on the obsessive with that relationship. And so to protect it needs to be done at all costs, and all Israelis, I think, would be pretty much in agreement with that. There are, though, many Israelis now who see pretty strong and, from their point of view, pretty concerning opposition within the United States towards Israel, and it sits uncomfortably with them, whether they agree with it or not. I don't think, however, he might try and paint himself as the man for this. I don't think Netanyahu has widespread, or there is not widespread faith in Netanyahu to be the man to repair Israel's image in the eyes of Americans who have been shocked as to what's been going on in Gaza. I think they would look to other Israeli leaders for that.
Of course, Tom, Netanyahu would love if Trump was to be the person who was elected on November the 5th. But it is increasingly likely that whoever occupies the White House from here on forward is not, as Joe Biden did, going to be describing themselves as a Zionist. Is that a part, do you think, of Israel's considerations here?
It could be. I think that what this current war in Gaza has done has been to create a sense of division that's so strong and cuts across generations so profoundly in the US that I think there is a very acute sort of recognition, particularly within the Democratic Party, that this could usher in a change. But I think things are still very much in flux, and it's quite hard to sort of say that definitively at the moment. But there's certainly a feeling of that. The point about Benjamin Netanyahu is that, you know, many Democrats have not forgiven him for 9 years ago coming to Washington and making another joint address to Congress, going behind the back of Barack Obama to try and undermine the Iran nuclear deal, which was the sort of, you know, cornerstone of American foreign policy at the time. They were deeply hurt and angry about that. I think that's adding to the sense of sort of why many are boycotting him today, because the fundamental that, you know, many pro-Israel members of Congress relied on was that it was always a bipartisan relationship of support. And they see Mr. Netanyahu as effectively trying to undermine that and eroding that sense by effectively failing to sort of recognize democratic support for Israel. And I think you'll see echoes of that again today, which is an important part of the relationship. But I think in terms of a generational shift, I mean, I was talking to one figure in the party who said that what Mr. Netanyahu may have failed to realize is that the Democratic Party of 10 years' time may look very different. And its attitudes, the attitudes being forged right now over what's going on with the war and his handling of it, may usher in a very significant and sort of generational change in that relationship.
Indeed. Tom Bateman, BBC State Department correspondent in Washington, and Alistair Bunkle, Sky News Middle East correspondent. Thank you.
Text 51551. Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.